Fool is the name of that by now very familiar track from Villagers in this week's Totally Irish. It's taken from one of the albums of the year, The Art of Pretending to Swim. What was the inspiration behind those songs? What is the plan for next week's Villagers curated lineup for Metropolis? And what is it like going on a date with Conor O'Brien? Well, these are just some of the questions that I shall be asking Conor O'Brien right now, because he is live with me here in the 98FM studio. Conor, good evening,
Hello,
sir.
Hello, thank you for having
me. Good to see you again.
You too, yeah. Now, great to be here.
We met a few weeks ago on the set of the video shoot for that song that we just heard there, Fool, which was shot in Le Cave restaurant, very fancy restaurant,
yeah,
on South Ann Street. I was lucky enough to blag my way onto the set as an extra. I was on a fictional date with a very nice Argentinian girl called Jessica, while you were at the table opposite me on a date with someone who wasn't really giving you much attention at all, resulting in pretty extreme measures taken by you.
Yeah, yeah. Damn right. I wouldn't call you an extra, though. I'd say you were pretty much the star of the show.
Well, I didn't want to start off this interview by trying to, you know, steal the limelight here.
Well, I think you did that, John, the day of the filming, but no.
I was the worst extra ever. I mean, I was looking around at these actual extras who were amazing, super professional, where I was just laughing my head off the whole time. So
I wouldn't undersell yourself.
If anybody's listening, I'm available. But it was such fun to do, though, wasn't it? It's not how I would spend most Mondays, which is watching you trying to get the attention of your date and then rip a heart out of your nice white shirt and then have a mariachi band behind you.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly selling myself either, am I, as a possible date for any potential suitors?
Yeah, no. But if anybody is out there, obviously they can you know, give it a go. I'm sure it was just I'm sure the same thing wouldn't repeat itself, you know. I was, but the video was directed by Bob Gallagher,
yeah.
And he has, I guess, previous in the past with doing these kind of horrific scenes where somebody's like ripping their heart out or some bodily organ. And I was chatting to Daniel Fox from Girlband recently, and he was talking about the video shoot for Why They Hide Their Bodies Under My Garage. And he described Bob as having this uncanny knack for finding very cheap animal organs around Dublin.
Wow.
Which I thought was quite not the first obvious description of a music video director you'd ever find.
For a while he wanted me to hold or to keep a real pig's heart in my shirt and actually use that as the one that I ripped out.
No.
But I refused. But we did use a real pig's heart for one part of the video.
Yeah.
I think it's like the middle part where it's on the plate. I think that might have been Bob's way of just getting it in there. I think that might have been the first note on his list of things to do for the next Villagers video was use pig's heart, and everything else was just surrounding that, you know, just a way to do it kind of thing.
That was probably the most expensive piece of animal that he bought, so he was like, I have to get that in there. I just have to slip it in there somewhere. Conor, it's a few weeks now since your album, The Art of Pretending to Swim, was released through Domino Records. And like most music fans, I'm always fascinated by that weird, magical thing that musicians have to go through every time they have to start and write songs for a new album. And that is the art of writing not just songs, but really good songs. And I guess we live in a world where we like facts and we like everything to be explained to us, and we have to know exactly how something works. And to put this question into context, you've written possibly 9 of the best songs that you've ever written, and as a result this is probably your best album yet. So how does that happen? Like, how does that whole process come about that you suddenly go, okay, now I need to start writing songs, and you've managed to do it this time?
I'd say genius, maybe.
Well, I'll move on to the next question.
A little bit of luck.
But is it just that everything comes together at the right time?
No, it's none of that. It's I don't know. I really enjoyed making this, and I think it's just putting graft into something and then trying to, you know, maintain a momentum so that the whole piece of work is a bit of cohesiveness to it, and it's all glued together. It's not just a collection of songs. It's something that I tried to keep in my mind when I was making it. And then and just experimentation as well, and just trying to kind of lose yourself a little bit in the music and not try to think about what you think people might want from you, you know, and all that kind of stuff, because that can be really suffocating. And and just kind of keep going at it, and eventually something comes out of your weird hatchet job that you eventually realized there was some sort of plan, you know.
At any point did you think, I'm on a hot streak here? There's like these, like at some point when you've created, you've written some of those songs, you start thinking, Jesus, these are actually pretty good. Or are you completely oblivious to that until they're finished?
Sorry, hot streak. I was a hot steak. I'm on a hot steak. Ow! Sorry. Why did you leave a hot steak on my chair?
Yeah, so hot steaks.
The stakes are high. And when you're in a hot streak, you're aware. I don't know. Like, well, it's sort of like there's a tipping balance point, and you know, once you realise you have a bunch of songs which are kind of somehow connected thematically and also like texturally and all that kind of stuff, you start to realise that there's something happening, and that's kind of a nice feeling. But then you get lazy and then you don't do any work for like a few weeks, and you realise, oh god, I have to get back to the grind again, and then you just do it all over again, and eventually something happens, you know. But I wouldn't say there was any point when it was like a hot streak. It was more like a gradual, lukewarm, sort of like a snail's trail.
is exactly the answer that I thought you'd give.
Better way of putting it, really.
Connor, you wrote the tracks for your other three albums at home on a 16-track recorder, which I think you bought, I remember hearing you say before, when you were 19. So was the process for this album slightly different in the sense that you've said over the last few weeks that the tracks for the album were originally very much electronic music based, and we're kind of looking after a while like they might be music for a side project? So did you wrote the demos first, did you listen to them then over and over again, and then decide to add instruments and or other instruments and lyrics?
Yeah, every song was totally different, so there was no real, because I kind of feel like when you're making stuff and it's all kind of creative, when you're in that creative mode, I think it's kind of like you're not just creating the work, but you're also trying to create your process every time a little bit as well. And I think once you start repeating the process, it gets stale. So each one was quite different, and some of them came from little words that were scribbled in notebooks, and then some of them came from, most of them didn't though. Most of them came from like little experiments or like little things I was trying just to learn a particular whatever synth or something or part of the production process, really. And then they slowly became songs, and then it was, yeah, and then I realized it was going to be like another song based album. So and then I got angry at myself. Sorry, I actually did though. I actually
felt
I really wanted to do something. I was trying to do something extremely different, and then I realized I was starting to become an old crow, and I hadn't learned completely new techniques, but at least I applied them to something that I'd done before, which was like traditional narrative stuff. I'm sorry. I must apologize to
I
listeners.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm a little bit giddy.
You lost me halfway through that answer. Sorry.
Okay. Oh God, this is a mess.
I'm now afraid to ask this next question. I don't know what you're gonna say for, but let's go with it. Let's just throw it out there and see what happens.
Oh God,
Connor, you've just
the giggles.
You've just released your fourth album. It's been so well received by everybody. You're in huge demand, and life is pretty good at the moment. So would you say that despite the fact that you've been in the music business for approaching maybe 12, 13 years,
yeah,
is this the is this the happiest you've ever been as a musician?
Jesus. I don't think so. That's my honest answer.
Yeah.
I think I was the happiest as a musician when I was very young. I feel like this happiness is maybe the wrong... I don't really strive for that as a musician. I think you have to kind of keep stressed. You have to stay stressed, and you have to stay kind of constantly full of anxiety for the next thing that you're trying to do or whatever. And
so you don't get complacent, in other words.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, the most happiness I feel is when I'm in the middle of, you know, the maybe the last portion of creating a song or whatever, and then I'm just high, and it's like really, it's a really great feeling. But But all the in-between parts are just, there's always something to worry about, and it's always just thinking about the next step or the five things you need to do tomorrow in order to, you know, not leave your guitar in a train somewhere or whatever and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would imagine the recording process is probably the nicest part.
I don't know, five things. Why would you have to do five things to not leave your guitar in a train? What would those five things be? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, like a note in your hand maybe would be the first. Do not leave the guitar in a train.
One note in the hand, one note on the phone. A post-it note on your forehead.
And then you'd have to get
a tattoo.
Somebody would have to to text you maybe, you know, at that point.
That's
to
five,
say,
yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
The new album is called The Art of Pretending to Swim. Shall we take a listen to the first single that you released from it back in June? This is called A Trick of the Light. That is A Trick of the Light from Villagers on this week's Totally Irish here on 98FM. And I am chatting to Conor O'Brien here in the 98FM studio. Conor, where does that track, A Trick of the Light, stand in the Villagers catalogue in terms of its significance? Because I remember hearing it so many times over the summer on BBC Six Music. I mean, they played it so much. And you know that really nice thing when you get to hear a song unexpectedly on the radio? Like, it's not like it's your Spotify playlist and it's going to come up at some point. You're not expecting to hear this track. And you've also got that nice thing when you do hear it on radio, you get to compare it with other, well, I guess, new releases that came out over the summer. And every time I heard it, I was like, wow. What an amazing, amazing song.
Oh,
so well structured.
You.
So how significant is it? Because I mean, this was your calling card for the new album.
Yeah, it felt like it kind of broke the mold a little bit when I wrote it. It felt like I was able to kind of get the rest of the songs written once I had finally settled on an arrangement for it. Because it went through some phases before that which were a little bit slower and a bit more trying to squeeze the meaning out of the words, so it was all like a bit more precious and stuff. And once I realized it didn't need to be that, it could just stand on its own two feet, it kind of broke the mold a little bit and let me write the album. And I think it sounds groovy. It's good on the radio, and it sounds
great on the radio.
Yeah, and I think it manages to maintain, because I had to do a radio edit as well, which I hated, and I'm so happy no one used it, because all the good bits were taken out of it, so it keeps all that nice space
It's not a very long song though, is it?
No, but there's, like, I think there was one radio station, I think Radio 2 asked for it to be sped up and cut up as well.
Jesus.
So there's a version that exists which is like kind of lost all the groove, and also the whole middle section is lost, and then the chorus just keeps repeating over and over and over again at the end, and it's just a monster. So I'm happy I've never heard that on the radio. Obviously, it didn't work because I haven't heard it on the radio. So
no,
whatever.
But if listeners to that particular station go and see you live, they're going to get a bit of a shock.
Yeah, they'll be like,
what's
why
that?
Is this so slow?
God, I'm wrong.
And long. Just looking at their watches or their phones.
Conor, are there any... So, in terms of that song, it's significant because it was your calling card, as I said, for the new album. But are there any tracks on that album that have maybe a personal significance to you?
I think all of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a bit of a cop-out, but I think, personal is I think all songs are probably personal. It just depends how you dress it. And these are all personal songs. And I think they're all dressed up in different ways.
I'm going to ask you to choose one in a few minutes. So I'll give you a few more minutes to think of one. What have you learned from the making of this particular album that you might carry with you onto album number five, do you think?
Probably never try to make an album in a little tiny attic room with too much equipment in it again, ever, on your own mostly. And
obviously that was quite stressful, but
it was really exciting at the start because it was new, but then I realized you can hardly, like, stand up in that room that I made it in. So, and I'm tiny, so I was, like, hitting my head all the time and, like, finishing vocal takes and then whacking my head off the ceiling. Like, I don't know. Like, just, I guess the main stuff that I learned was quite technical, so it's quite boring unless you're a bit of an audio nerd, but it was just how to make a studio work in your home and how to EQ things and compress things, and that's kind of the main thing I got from it, because I found that a good way to sort of, like, focus, and then the rest of the stuff kind of did itself a little bit more subconsciously, kind of thing. So that was good.
When we spoke a few weeks ago on the set of the video shoot for Fool, you said that this album has a bit more upbeat. It has a bit more maybe charm to it. And you talked about it having a bit more of a groove. Would that be something going forward that you're not even thinking of album number 5 yet, but is that something, do you feel now, yeah, you know what, I've got this sound that I'm really comfortable with and that works really well live?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do another groovy album. It's going to be groovy. I'd like to sort of, in that way, I'd like to continue down that line a little bit more. But I don't really know what shape that will take. It's hard to say, really. Yeah.
Next weekend is Metropolis weekend here in Dublin. The festival takes place on Saturday and Sunday in the RDS. And you, your band, are playing the very first night, which is the Saturday night. And you've been asked to curate the lineup for that first day of the festival. And it's you've done really well because the lineup is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So you have gone for Friendly Fires, Gweno, Book of Brass Band, David Keenan, and David O'Doherty is going to be emceeing the whole thing. So there's a really, like, immediately the first thing you look at is there's such a wide variety of musical styles in there from all of those acts.
Mm. Yeah, I think that was kind of an aim at the start. And I wouldn't really see the point in trying to get like a bunch of, you know, guitar bands or a bunch of, you know, folk acts or whatever. I kind of wanted to be a bit of a bigger kind of span musically. And I'm really excited. I've never done anything like that before, and it's I might wait for a little while before I do it again. If I'm being honest with you, but
I would imagine it's stressful.
A little bit, but yeah. I'm a bit too much of a space cadet for that kind of world, I think. But I'm so happy that it worked out, and I'm really excited about the show.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's gonna have a great time. There's gonna be a bar there and everything. Sorry.
There you go. And a coup in a way to get Friendly Fires, who are making a comeback since 2013,
yeah,
which is great.
Gweno
was great as well. And
yeah.
Are you a fan of David Keenan?
Yeah, he's great. I saw his footage of his show in the Other Voices tent in Electric Picnic, and that was great. He was just holding court, like totally full on, getting the whole place on its toes, and just I'm really excited he's playing as well.
He's a great storyteller. He was actually on the show last week, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to listen to any of the tracks on his new EP, but one of them is called James Dean, and he has this line in it that is, "I had a dream that James Dean was alive and looking for the easy life, working for Irish Rail." And you kind of just think, who comes up with that? And how, why, even, like, how would you even put that into the main lyric of a song? So, but he is, supremely talented, a great storyteller as well. Yeah. In terms of other Irish musicians, who else are you a big fan of? Can I throw out a couple of names? And
yeah, go for it.
Saint Sister?
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, yeah. I really like them. They're great. Yeah.
Kojak?
I love Kojak.
I knew you'd say that.
I love them all.
Yeah.
Kojak's great. And
it's been such a really good year for Irish albums. I mean, not only The Art of Pretending to Swim, but you have The Shape of Silence from Saint Sister. Week of Corners have just put out their new album.
Oh yeah, Week of Corners' new album. Yeah,
lots
yeah.
And lots of great albums. Yeah.
I was listening to their new track yesterday. It sounded amazing.
Yeah.
I added a little fire emoji on the Instagram, and they liked it.
They responded.
Which is, that's how we communicate these days.
Yeah, modern life works nowadays. So. Yeah. Conor O'Brien, thank you so much for coming in to this week's Totally Irish.
Thank you for having me. Apologies for my giddiness, but I'm feeling giddy.
That's all right. I'm glad you are. Best of luck next Saturday night in the RDS at this year's Metropolis. Of course, Villagers are going to be headlining this Saturday night. And congratulations again on a wonderful album.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, John.
We are going to take I listen to one more track from that new album, Connor, The Art of Pretending to Swim. Would you like to choose which one?
Yeah. I'd love if you could play one of the tracks. It's called Love Came With All That It Brings, and it's one of my favourites.
Here it is on this week's Totally Irish on 98FM. Connor O'Brien, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love came with all that it brings from Villagers on this week's Totally Irish here on 98FM at Captain America's Cookhouse and Bar. And thank you once again to Conor O'Brien from Villagers for chatting to us on this week's show. You can catch Villagers next Saturday night at Metropolis 2018 in the RDS.